Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Good morning. My name's Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at Living Waters. I lead our Willoughby campus, and so I don't get to be here at Fort Langley every Sunday, but it sure is a pleasure when I get the chance. And so thank you for allowing me to be here. It's also a pleasure to be able to bring a conclusion to our This Is Real Love series. The root of the series found itself back in Easter, if you'll remember, when we spoke out of 1 John chapter 4, and this is what it says there. It says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So we find in this passage that God loved us by sending his Son as a sacrifice, and that we should love each other. The question that began to be raised in the midst of that is, how do we actually love each other, though? And as we search for that, we find an answer in the infamous love passage in 1 Corinthians 13. And this is what it says. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. And so over the past 8 weeks, we've covered 7 different topics with 7 different speakers. We've talked about love is faithful, forgiving, true, decent, humble, kind, and patient. And it's been a great journey. The goal of this series has been to take what love is and take a look at the day-to-day outworking of this real love. And we've been thrilled with how our community has reacted. We've been able to hear stories of those who have been touched by God's love in the midst of hearing about it. We've also heard of those who have taken intentional steps to show real love to those around them. So well done, Living Waters, for taking what we're hearing and applying that into your life. I want to start today by sharing from my own story. Some of you know this story. Some of you, it will be new to you. It was at the lowest part of my life, approximately 8 years ago, I found myself struggling with addiction. I had lost my job. I was on the verge of losing my wife and, at the time, 2 children, now 3 children. And I had just lost all my confidence. My relationship with God was not so much of a relationship, it was more of an acknowledgement. I knew that God existed, but I did not consider, or perhaps more accurately, I chose to not remember what Jesus had done for me. I had unintentionally rejected his love in my life by choosing other things, poisonous things in my case. I was in pretty rough shape. What I'm going to share today is important because there are others in our community today who are at a low point in their lives as well. Maybe you're not as rough off as I was at that point. Maybe you are. Regardless, everyone in this room today needs to ask the question, am I accepting and experiencing God's real love? Jesus says in John chapter 15, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. My crossing from that place of pain and rejection to the place that I am today has been a beautiful migration that I wouldn't ask God to take away from me. Through it, God has taught me, and he continues to teach me, about his love. It all started for me where we left off last Sunday, with faithfulness. Doug said about faithfulness, one cannot overestimate the power of faithfulness. Faithfulness is like the mortar that holds the building blocks of love together. And it is. Think about it. One of the greatest acts of love is when someone who could and maybe should discontinue relationship with you doesn't. We all heard the story of Charlie, not his real name, that Doug shared last week. All Charlie needed was someone to express true love to him. And Doug had the pleasure of being able to do that through faithfulness. It was similar in my story. But it was simultaneously God, my wife and family, and my church community, Living Waters, who stayed faithful to me even after they had seen the worst. I recognized that. Love was being expressed through their faithfulness to me, which opened the door for me to hear the truth. About truth, Mike said, knowing Jesus and walking in the fullness of his Spirit, since he is the source of truth, is where joy and truth meet. But fully knowing and loving him means loving others and rejoicing when the gospel is lived out in their lives. Do you see it beginning to come together? Does this resonate with how you have experienced real love in your life? I began to hunger for Scripture and believe what God said about me. When speaking on forgiveness, Joel and Brandy said, what starts out as sorrow over our wrongdoing can lead to consuming guilt or preoccupation with our sin. This becomes punitive and non-redemptive. Have you been there? I've been there. Or begin to wallow in my sin and it's just a downward spiral. In the same way, we can give our offender, which is often ourselves, the gift of being seen in their best light, not just defined by their mistakes. This truth struck deep into the core of who I was years ago. I held so much guilt and shame over my actions and how I had let so many people down. But God continued to let me be seen in my best light. God wasn't about to let me be defined by my mistakes. Rather, he restored and he renewed the mistakes and he made those places of pain in my life whole again. So my response to the faithfulness, the truth, and the forgiveness in my life, this real love, was to fall deeply in love with God. Who can resist the love that God pours out lavishly? Who can ignore the love that touches the depth that only the Creator can touch? Smith Wigglesworth, an evangelist back in the day, said, to hunger and thirst after righteousness means that nothing fascinates us so much as being near to God. And this is where I found myself. What a dramatic, refreshing, and beautiful change that I experienced in life. Love began to define who I was. My wife felt it, my kids felt it, and I reveled in it. God's love for me and my love for him didn't stop between the two of us, though. I've already alluded to it. But everyone around me felt the increase and the depth of love as well. When we experience God's love in our lives, one of the results is a love for those who are in our immediate community, especially those who love him as well. Jesus says in John 13, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Just as Christ has loved us, we should love each other. Have you taken a moment to think about how Christ has loved you? Not when he has loved you, not where you were when you experienced his love, but how he has loved you. The book, The Five Love Languages, and others like it, help us to identify how to show love to others and the most effective ways to do that. In essence, it puts language to what we have experienced. So what is the language to how Christ has loved us? I know that Katrina, my wife, loves me by spending time with me and through acts of service. I think that when we begin to explain how Christ has loved us, we begin to come up with a list awfully similar to the one that we find in 1 Corinthians 13 and other lists that we find in Scripture. So we take those ideas, those attitudes, and those actions, and we apply them to each other. This is what we've been talking about in our series. In my story, I take the faithfulness, I take the truth, and I take the forgiveness that I experienced. And because of my love for Jesus, I begin to apply that to those around me. I begin to forgive. I begin to speak truth. I begin to show faithfulness to those around me. Some of you in this room, I have intentionally, but unknown or maybe known to you, expressed love in this way. I love you because we are brothers and sisters in our love for Jesus. In her message on decency, Joanne had a brilliant definition of decency as being the term a thoroughly decent chap meant a man was honorable, noble, honest, and looked out for others. I want to be a thoroughly decent chap. But not just because I think you'll like me if I am. I know that you guys like me anyway. I want to be a thoroughly decent chap because I love Jesus, and I know one of the ways that I can show my love to Jesus is to allow glory to be directed his way. I think that we have all met those people that after spending some time with them, we would say, that woman is a great woman. Or that guy is awesome. I love spending time with him. And when we spend time with good, decent people like that, they begin to influence who we are and the decisions that we make. And this can bring glory to God. So think about the influence that we can show to others as we do that. We also show love to others by being kind to them. Reuben expressed this by saying, kindness is recognizing the needs of others and taking steps to meet those needs. I think this goes hand in hand with being a decent person. I hope that each of us in this room, especially if you are a believer, are recognizing the needs of others and taking steps to meet those needs. There was a Christmas, maybe 4.5 years ago, where Katrina and I were made aware of a need of somebody in our community. We knew that we could and we wanted to meet the need that they had. So we did. It's kindness. I remember about this particular need that it did require a level of sacrifice that Katrina was very willing to make. I, however, was a little more tentative. By meeting the need, it was actually going to hinder us from being able to fulfill what I would call a want. And although I knew we needed to be kind, I also wanted what I wanted, let's face it. Well, Katrina made sure that I had some sense knocked into me, and we went ahead and met the need. It was the same day. How many of you have a story like this? It was the same day that someone in our community, in kindness, met our want. This is real love being expressed with each other. Each person recognizing the needs and taking the steps that they can to meet those needs. So track with my story here. Came out of brokenness, experienced God's real love, which tossed me into complete love with him. Because of this deep love for him, a love for those around me was a natural result. I hope that you've experienced this as well. It's a beautiful experience. The latest step in my journey over the past few years has been to fall in love with the mission that God has given us. The writer of Hebrews says, "Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance." This desire that the writer of Hebrews had was to ensure that our spiritual lives remain vibrant, full of faith, and that they endure, And that happens as we recognize that God's love is not only for us. It is for everyone, even those who do not yet recognize it. As we have journeyed through our This Is Real Love series, I believe that two of the key attributes of love that will speak to those who have not yet accepted God's love is patience and humility. Now, the problem is when Luke spoke on humility, he said, and I quote, "I can't think of anyone better to speak on humility other than myself." So I'm not sure what to do with the message, like, just toss it. Actually, in seriousness, Luke reminded us that humility has more to do with what we are rather than what we are not. More to do with what we possess than what we lack. For those who are far from God, they are striving to prove that they are actually something that they are not. They are trying to show that they actually do have everything they need, even though their souls are empty. They are trying to live without guilt or shame, even though their thoughts continue to dwell on the things that they regret. They are trying to show that they are experiencing love, even though sadly, it is often just a physical or a cerebral act, so far short of the love we experience from God. As followers of Jesus, we step into humility, living authentic lives that respond to others, knowing that we fall far short of a holy God. But we are made holy through Him. We know that we are not able to earn God's love. It is only freely given. Our salvation from death is not attained through acts of righteousness, but freely given by a simple act of faith in Jesus. Our self-worth is not determined by the money in our pockets, but by the way our Savior's eyes rest on us, His children. Humility reminds us that we are not better than, more valuable than, in a secret club, or on a special path opposed to the next person. Humility reminds us that we have been blessed, and we need to be passing that blessing on to everyone we can, in whatever way we can. This is our mission, to express God's love in ways that are tangible, understandable, and spirit-empowered to those who do not yet know the real love of God, because this is real love. When I spoke on patience, I attempted to remind us that it is an act of love to put ourselves in the other person's shoes and to give them the space and the understanding that they need. Our culture is an impatient culture. We have the opportunity to show another way, considering others first, giving them the opportunity to receive love as we show patience. This is how we get to be a catalyst for God's love being shown into the lives of those around us. There are armloads of ways to show love. One of the ways that we're doing that at the Willoughby campus is by holding a once-a-week summer drop-in for ages 11 to 17. Willoughby is a newly forming community. There's people moving into the community every single day. And often resources aren't provided until a community is formed and settled. And so one thing that we heard from the community is that there was little for teens to do during the summer. And so on Wednesday evenings, we have provided just that. And guess what? Willoughby has had a glimpse of God's love for them, simply because four of our youth staff decided and committed to running these drop-in events each week during the summer. It's amazing. And so we've had between 10 and 20 youth showing up with such a great response that we're now faced with the problem of having to try and keep this thing going throughout the year. It's awesome. It's God's love in action. So why am I concluding our series this way? Well, there's three reasons. The first is, if you have not been open to experiencing God's love in your life, today is the day. God loves you more than you can comprehend. I'm not making this up. I've lived it. Today, you can make a change in your life and experience His love. Simply pray. God, I want to experience your real love. I'm going to be on the lookout for your love this week. Reveal yourself to me. And He will. I'm 100% certain of it. So, if you pray that, come and tell me or tell the person that you came to church with today, and we'll follow up with you at the end of the week. Can't wait to hear the story of how God showed you His love. The second reason, if you have experienced God's love in your life, I hope that today has reminded you that we are brothers and sisters in Jesus. And the little things matter. We're actually commanded to love each other. So if you need a hug today, tell someone. Come and tell me. I'm the least huggy person in the world, but come and tell me, and we will take the steps. I'll find somebody to come and give you a hug. Seriously, this is what community is about. If we don't know of the need, we can't step into that need with you. So let's be community, and let's share. And third, finally, our calling is to more than sitting in a seat on a Sunday morning at Living Waters. Whether it is running a drop-in for teens or helping out once a month with kids in the fort. Whether it's caring for your neighbor who's going through a rough time, or maybe it's showing patience and humility with that big, tough, full of themselves person at work. Doing those things is living out our mission. We are fulfilling our calling in showing this world God's love. So let's do it. Why don't we get the worship team to come up, whoever's going to lead us in a little bit of worship here. I can think of no better way to end our series than by joining together in communion. Communion is remembering what Jesus has done to show His love and celebrating that. It is also remembering that He is going to return. So our mission, our calling, is not yet complete. So let's encourage each other on in showing real love, patience and kindness, humility, decency, truth, forgiveness, and faithfulness. Until He returns. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love. We stand here as community and we say, Lord, You have been good. You've been good to us. And Lord, we see the love that You have shown to each of us. And Lord, we recognize that there are many in this world who need to experience that love for themselves. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to that. Just as You loved us, we ought to love each other. So, Lord, we're going to do that. In Your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. So, thank you for joining us over the past weeks in our This Is Real Love series. Next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating baptism. So come prepared for that. Come prepared to hear the stories. Come prepared to go down to the river to celebrate with those being baptized, and bring a lunch so that you can join us after for our party down at Fort Langley Park as we picnic together. Have a wonderful week. Love each other well. Love somebody around you. And we'll see you next Sunday. Have a good week.